are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Why is my primary mic dead? I don't know. I've been out of town, as you know, and I have no idea why the primary mic is dead. It's on here, but anyway, that's why we have a backup. Anyway, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm glad you're here, and I want to welcome all of you who are joining us for the very first time. Welcome. I'm doubly delighted because you're here for the first time, and I hope you make a habit out of it. Join us each and every night, because each and every night we always present something strange, unexplained, and I think quite interesting and important. Now, as I said, I've been out of town. I've been in Sedona for the Ed Grimsley UFO Skywatch Conference. And it really, boy, I'll tell you what, yes, I'm out here in Arizona. Yes, I live here in Arizona. It was, however, my very first time to go to Sedona. And absolutely stunningly beautiful in Sedona. If you haven't been, you gotta go. It's just incredible. Absolutely beautiful there. But we had a great time. Now, it rained, uncharacteristic for this time of the year. It rained each and every day of the conference. However, on Sunday, on the last day of the conference, things began to clear up a little bit. The sky cleared up a little bit. And finally, on Sunday evening, Ed Grimsley was able to actually take people out after the conference in the evening and let them see the UFOs. And you know, it was amazing. Now, not everyone at the conference was my age, but lots of people were my age and older. There were also a lot of younger people, but I mean, there were people out there 60 years old squealing like three-year-olds as they looked through those night vision goggles and saw with their own eyes these many UFOs flying in the skies above us. So, I got a kick out of that. I really enjoyed it. But what we're going to do now through the week, I was able, while I was there, I was a speaker at the conference, but then throughout all the rest of the time, I was interviewing people on video and so that I could present them to you. Mostly it's little vignettes so that you get to meet some people. And but one of them, I conducted an interview that's, I think it's about 25 minutes long, and that's what I'm going to share with you tonight, and then we're going to open the phone lines and talk about it. It's Joanne Richards. Now, I had one disgruntled member while I was out of town. I left town Thursday night, got back into town at 1:30 this morning, and checked my email this morning. I have one disgruntled member who's all upset because I didn't update the K-Pods over the weekend. And look, I'm one person. I can be in one place at one time. I'm amazingly brilliant, but I'm not God. So this person says he wants to cancel. And hey, c'est la vie, ciao, baby. Do Virginia, adios. You got to understand, it's just me here. All right. When we come back, I'm going to introduce this videotaped interview that I did with Joanne Richards. You need to understand some things before you watch this. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to introduce this to you. I've got to sort of set this up for you so you'll understand all about this. First of all, I'm going to share with you a video of my interview with Joanne Richards. Now, this video is about 25 minutes long, so I have to tell our affiliate stations that we will not be taking the next break, okay? This next break that comes up at 27 minutes after, we always take that. It's not going to happen. I have deactivated it. Now, of course, we understand if you need to go ahead and do that at your station, but the automated hard break at 27 after will not happen from this end. We will continue running this interview with Joanne Richards. Joanne Richards is an amazing person. Now, at the Ed Grimsley UFO Skywatch Conference, there were all kinds of speakers there and lots of things happening. In between the events, in between the speakers, I was grabbing people and doing quick interviews. So this is not as in-depth an interview as I would have liked to have been able to do, but we didn't have time to go as in-depth as I would like to do. However, Joanne Richards did agree that she would come on the show as a guest at a later date where we can spend a couple of hours and do as we normally do, which is interview in-depth and then open the phone line so you can call and ask her questions. And I think you will find when we do that and you call in and talk with her personally, I think you're going to find that she is really a delightful person to talk to. Now, Joanne Richards is married to a man who, according to her story, she says he was a U.S. Air Force officer and that he was had extremely high security clearance and that he was involved in an international security space fleet. She said that it's highly secret, way above top secret, and that when it was first founded, Admiral Nimitz was in charge of it. So I think you're going to find this really, really interesting. If her story is true, it is, well, first, whether it's true or not, this is one of the most phenomenal stories that you're going to hear in the realm and field of ufology. If true, it is one of the most important stories that is available to us and that's out there where you can access it and know about it. So judge for yourself. We'll talk about what you think about it after we take a look at the interview. And we'll see what you think about what she's got to say. I can answer some of your questions about her. Some of them, of course, she and only she would be able to answer. And when we have her on live, she'll do that. But this will get us started. I would hate to just toss her at you for 2 hours without you having, I guess we could say, a warm-up. Because believe me, what you're about to hear is mind-bending, mind-blowing information that if it is true, as I said, it's the most important information I've heard in a long time. If it is not true, man, would this make a great movie. So what we're going to do is go over to the movies now. Here is Joanne Richards. And we are at the fabulously beautiful convention center here, and it's called the Creative Life Center. And the scenery is just phenomenal. Now, I took some shots earlier
of this area with all the clouds hanging low and we were getting rain. It's all cleared off now, and it is just stunningly beautiful. Seated here to my left, your right, is Joanne Richards. Now, we've talked about Joanne Richards' story on the show before, and some of you have purchased a DVD called Our Star Wars Reel, and this is where Ed Grimsley had interviewed Joanne, and she talks about her husband's involvement in what I termed a secret space program. We'll find out how she terms it. But Joanne, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you very much.
Do you call it a secret space program?
I don't. I just call him a space pilot for top secret missions.
All right. Now, let's just start at the beginning with this story. It's one of the most incredible stories I have heard. And when I say incredible, I don't mean that in some way it's not believable. I just mean it's a phenomenal story.
Thank you.
So let's start at the beginning and tell us what we're talking about here.
Okay, well, basically, my father-in-law was an Air Force pilot. After World War II, he went into military intelligence and was involved with all kinds of UFO-related incidents, fighting, investigations, confrontations. And my husband grew up with all this, and he's had top secret or high security clearances ever since he was a little kid, and worked on a lot of projects for Lockheed and this and that, and he was, you know, active in the Navy as a teenager. And he went on to do his own, you know, be involved with his own top secret military missions. He was in the Army, and then he was in Air Force Special Services or Forces. A lot of things he can't tell me because he was under U.S. military orders, but then there was an international security agency that his father ran from 1966 on, and they took on threats or whatever on and off world that governments couldn't openly be dealing with. So a lot of the things he's told me about are involving like the international security missions and things. So they've fought aliens on and off world.
All right, let me interrupt. And that's fine. Let me throw something in that happened here at this conference.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure you get this. You talk about there was this international security group or
right.
agency. Now, I was international police, which is not the same thing.
Right.
Right here at this conference. I mean, I was international police. I got pictures of this. I got pictures of me with diplomats, and I got pictures of me serving in various places around the world, right? It's absolutely documented, and I have the documents.
Cool.
And right here at this conference, I was told there's no such thing as international police. Do you ever get that when you say
this? I get that all the time because, I mean, I have a few documents that show my husband was involved with very specific military operations and certain craft that he was on and involved with. And people will ask me, well, what's his number? You know, how do you prove that he's just like, well, I have certain things that prove to me he was involved with, and I've done a lot of background research for stuff I didn't even know what he was writing about. And it all ties together, and the families had a lot of political connections. His father was involved with JFK and they were involved with Tesla and Goddard and, you know, helping these guys with their projects. And, you know, so I don't have any doubt in my mind. Do I have a ton of physical evidence? No. Do I have a picture of my husband in a spacesuit? Yes. You know, I have documents that show he was involved with certain projects? Yes. And I've been talking to him for 11 years, and he's never lied to me. I can, you know, we have such a connection, I know he's not lying to me. And he didn't all throw it all at once just to impress me. And it's like, I've learned this a little bit at a time, and he's sending me new stuff all the time. And it's mostly historical and science, so it's like, you know, why make it up? Because the physics and the history, you can go research and get that, so why would he make up the fun adventure, you know?
Well, I was shocked to find out that international police never existed. I spent 5 years overseas doing something, you know.
Uh-huh.
Now, look, your husband at this moment is in prison, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And I'd like to share with these folks what that's about.
Now you're going to get me to cry.
That's okay. They won't watch.
In 1982, right as a lot of stuff was, planned to be revealed, mysteriously, he got framed for a murder he had nothing to do with. And it was a friend of his. And this is in Northern California, where our house is. And, and they didn't think anything of it. I mean, except that, this is awful. But he was convicted of first-degree murder, and he got life without parole and has been in prison for 27 years. So, and it wasn't until later that we figured, maybe the government's trying to keep him quiet, because a lot of people that he worked with are dead, and some are in prison. But a lot of his, people that have been on his crews and his missions have all been mysteriously killed, shuttle accidents, and, a whole plane crash with, a bunch of people that used to work with him have died. And just a lot of people he knows that worked with him have died. And he knows so much, and he's got his, butt covered, that if he dies mysteriously in prison, more stuff will come out. The stuff will hit the fan. So it's not like it's just going to go away. So it's,
So manure will hit the ventilator.
He knew the Bushes. They're not friends. When Papa Bush was head of the CIA and Mark didn't, and his crew didn't do maybe what they wanted to do regarding the drug stuff going on in Burma and stuff, they tried to have his team killed. He's had confrontations with, I call him Baby Bush, the former president, the last president.
When he ran for governor, and this is not a political statement, folks, it's just so funny, though. He was running for president, uh-huh. first time. Uh-huh. No, he was running for governor, the first time, and he was running against Ann Richards.
Oh.
And now Ann Richards, they called Ma Richards.
Uh-huh.
She had been governor. She rode a Harley. She wore cowboy boots. She was just really wild, And she used to say, when they would talk about her opponent, she would say, "Oh, you mean Shrub."
I love that. Well, my favorite story about them is, they had known each other, college age, because they were all part of the Model United Nations. And I think Shrub had disrespected some of the young ladies at the thing, so my husband was already irritated with him. And, unbeknownst to me at the time, he knew the whole background of the Bushes' family history and all the stuff they were really involved with. And then one of the times my husband was coming back to Texas from some kind of mission or something. He's in his flight suit and all this stuff, and he's tired. And George is there with his National Guard buddies, and they're making fools of themselves at the officers' club. And my husband decked him. And I love that story. It's like, my husband decked President Bush.
I don't know if I would tell that. I mean,
I tell it to people who are of like mind and who will appreciate that story.
All right, so He has been in prison for 27 years.
Right.
Now, from your point of view, and I'll modify that in a moment. I'll modify that statement. From your point of view, he is there because he was framed, and he was framed because of what he knows about this space program?
He knows a lot of secrets, space stuff and just other historical things. He knows about Kennedy, who assassinated him. He knows just lots of stuff because that's what he grew up with and what he was involved with in his own, military career. So, we do firmly believe now that it was their attempt to keep him quiet and under control. And, we're careful about what we say. When I went to England a couple years ago to speak, I don't know how these people found out I was speaking, but they found out I was speaking, and he was told very specifically, she may not talk about this, this, and this, or say these names, or she will be arrested there. So I got the story out without saying those things. But, people are watching what we're talking about, and we're kind of on the fringe with a lot of it, so.
Well, and they're watching what you and I are talking about right now. You can rest assured, one of the biggest single blocks or groups of people that listen online are U.S. government computers, and let me say I don't mind that. I'm looking for audience, and I wish more government computers would log in. I appreciate it. I want to thank you and applaud you. And I'm serious. I'm glad to have them.
I agree.
Now, let's talk about this space program because we're at a UFO conference here. So what was his involvement with it, and what's that all about?
Well, one of the things I learned was that we had a space fleet. It was an international deep space fleet. There were, in the 50s, one of his, like, cousins or uncles, you know, a cousin of his mom, Theodore Taylor and Freeman Dyson designed an Orion class battleship for space. And it was propelled by nuclear bombs, hence one reason why we built so many bombs. And it was just meant to be up in, you know, orbit or space and not ever come back and land. And there were 9 of them funded by the U.S. and then several other governments and several other big corporations.
And when you say Orion-class spaceship, what are we talking about? How big is this?
As big as a battleship. As big as a naval battleship.
And there are 9 of them in space around the Earth now?
Well, there were. I don't think there are now, but I don't know, because if he knows, he can't tell me. So, you know, I get hints that maybe there still are, just because, you know, the way conversations go, but that's not been confirmed. But at least up until, you know, 1982, and some of them probably were damaged, you know, and they were upgraded over the years. So there were 9 that were that size, and there were support vehicles. So I know, like, specifically for a couple of missions, his father was, like, commander of the whole fleet, and he was captain of one of the ships. And then he's also flown SR-71s, and he's also flown an alien craft that I think it crashed here. I don't remember the early history, but, you know, it's this wonderfully sounding living being that's a mental interface that, you know, you only think about in science fiction books. It's like, this is really cool. And she shapeshifts, and, you know, she goes out through holes and raids stars for power. So, and she's taught him a lot about space. So he's been in a lot of cool stuff.
So it's a spaceship that is alive.
It is alive. And she can shapeshift, and she can have weapons. She has had antimatter weapons on her.
You think she's one of my ex-wives?
I hope not, because I really like her. But I don't know your ex-wife either.
My ex-wives are very likable, but you wouldn't want to be married to them.
Okay. I'm sure my ex-husband say the same thing about me.
All right. Now, he was on this deep space fleet.
Right.
All right. Question. Gary McKinnon in England. They're trying to extradite him and bring him here and charge him for breaking into these Pentagon computers and NASA computer. And I don't want to get into should he be charged, should he not be charged. That's all just, people are going to divide up. Some think one way, some or the other, and we're not going to solve that.
Right.
All right. But he said that he found lists of ships and non-terrestrial officers. Would that be related to that fleet?
I don't have any confirmation about that, but I know that there's a specific reptilian that I talk about. His nickname is Naga, and he's from one faction of, you know, reptilians, and he was often my husband's number one on their missions. And sometimes he would be on the ship with him, and sometimes he would be flying his own craft. So that doesn't seem unreal to me.
Did you ever see him or see a picture of him?
My husband has drawn a picture, which I will show today, that's very much like him. I thought, okay, now I want the real thing, because the one I have is a slightly different species. But no, I have never seen him. But I've got a lot of information about him, and we might come out with a lot more. You know, what are velociraptors really like? So.
Okay. What's the purpose of this space fleet? Why do we have it?
It was to deal with off-world threats, and I'm not sure how much of, like, exploration, because the things I know about, they were dealing with threats, and especially fighting incoming invasion fleets, because there have been several over the years. And I don't know what's going on now. You know, the stuff he writes is when he was active, so that was in the late 70s, early 80s. But just in 6 years... there were 3 or 4 that he's written about that I know about, and there might have been more that he hasn't been able to tell me. So, you know, there are reasons why other species want to come here and take over, and, you know, they've had to deal with that.
Why would other species want to take over here?
Well, a couple of things. There are a few species who claim this is their mother world, and they want it back. there are many species. You know, we have water. This is a very precious commodity for many species. And this is like, I mean, look where we are. This is so great, like you said. The planet is full of natural resources that they want. I mean, there are certain species who are out mining right now, by Saturn and Jupiter off their moons and rings. And our solar system is full of riches. And the Earth especially, and we have humans. And, you know, the nasty-sounding part of what I talk about is there's a lot of species who, you know, want human females for breeding because they've lost the ability to breed, reproduce on their own, and meat. And
I heard we taste a little bit like chicken.
I'm not sure, and I don't want somebody to tell me what I taste like. So, it's hard to know, but there are species who come and scoop up large quantities of people and, you know, sell them back to whoever's out in space. And a lot of natural disasters that happen, you know, are to cover up these big culling, you know, trips. So it's like thousands of people will disappear when there's an earthquake. And, gee, imagine that. You know, and it's to cover up the fact that, you know, those thousand are on ships going out to space. Or, you know, you have big tsunamis or you have big hurricanes and all of a sudden all these people are gone. And I know I read about, I think when we were first in Afghanistan, it's like these people were on some pilgrimage and crossing this bridge and all of a sudden all you see now are their shoes. It's like, well, where'd they all go? There's no bodies. They just disappeared.
So. All right, now, when your husband was active with all of this, he obviously would have known something about details. If he's captain of the ship, he would have some details. How many people would be assigned to one of those Orion-class ships?
That's a good question. They weren't huge crews, and I think a lot of it, and I have some drawings about some of the older models. I don't think they were big crews. It didn't sound like, you know, there weren't hundreds like you see in a Star Trek movie. So, and I don't have an exact number, but it could have been less than 20. He mentions some names when we get to some of the stories. But, I mean, some of them were like shuttle astronauts who, like, in their early days, you know, they were off on one of the space missions. And then in later years, these guys have been killed in one of the shuttle accidents.
Does he name which ones?
Yeah. David Griggs was killed, I think, in a boat or a car accident. But Onizuka and Ron McNair were both killed, I think, in the last shuttle accident, or the first one. I get mixed up on which one. And they were with him in a 1979 space mission. And they were with him in a rescue mission at Dulce, New Mexico.
All right, now you brought up Dulce, New Mexico. You opened that, Kim.
I'm sorry.
We got to crawl into it now.
Wasn't going to talk about it this weekend.
We have, you know, like everything else, we have people who absolutely swear that happened, and we have people that say that's bogus, there is no underground base there. You're going to tell us, I guess, that there is an underground base, and that what we heard about this firefight that took place in this underground base is real. Am I correct?
Correct. Well, what I know is I have a report that my husband was asked to edit for the joint. It was a report going to the Joint Chiefs of Staff in 2001. And so he was asked to edit it. Okay, that was cool. It's full of basic information about Dulce. It's full of other people's research. It's basically, you know, what the government found out people were saying about the place. Because he's got a lot of well-known researchers, you know, quotes and information in there. It goes into the experiments that were being done on humans there. It goes into the sex experiments, the mind control, genetic stuff. So it's a lot of basic information. It's got a lot of information just about alien species, you know, what their agenda is, why they're here, how many. I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, the government knew about dozens of species that had been coming and going here for years. And he, you know, through remote viewing, and at least I know, especially through remote viewing, they found out how bad it had gotten there that our government had allowed, because it was, you know, us allowing the aliens to have a base there. And certain portions of the military say, well, that, you know, enough is enough, too much. And one, I mean, the stuff in my report is one fight. It's not what Phil Schneider talks about, and it's not what other people. So some of them think I must be full of you know, crap. But it was one incident. It was fall of 1979, and it was one rescue mission to go in and try and rescue as many people as they could. You know, my husband was in command of, like, one of the little, one of the combat teams. There were some ground assault teams, and there were some, I think there were air and ground. And he came in an experimental aircraft, you know, following. They found out where one of the entry portals were, which, interestingly enough, is like camouflage basically by a holographic image, so it just looks like the desert. And, you know, they tracked a UFO coming in, so they just kind of followed it in through the entry. And then he said he's only in there for like about an hour. It was in, out, you rescue as many people as you can, take care of what you need to do that, and you're out so that you can get out with these people. And I know they captured a few spacecraft, you know, to take back with them, and you know, that's what it was. So, and like he said, he was only in the need to know. So it's like, well, did you know about other things that went on there? Well, my dad did. He was, you know, in charge. Did I need to know? No, I only needed to know what my mission was that particular time. So I, you know, have come to surmise, well, there's probably been more than one problem there, more than one confrontation there. And so what I know about and what's in the report I have is different than what other people have. And that's okay, because I'm sure there's more than one little problem that went on there. So.
All right. Now, watching you right now is an audience that spans at least 95 countries.
Wonderful.
So we obviously have people that are hearing this from all different kinds of backgrounds and cultural perspectives. I want to give you an opportunity to say basically to the world, because that's who's here, whatever you want to say that you think they need to hear about all this.
Wow, thank you. I will say that, you know, 10 or 11 years ago, I knew nothing about any of this. And I started doing research for my husband, and the education that I've gotten out of it and the respect for the military, and, sorry, now I'm going to cry again, and just learning what these heroes went through for us and saved humanity time and time again. It's like, it is so awesome to know what people were putting their lives on the line for, and the public just couldn't know. I mean, they weren't allowed to know.
All right, why not? Why? Look, you're telling me, and I'm not panicking and running screaming into the street. Why can't we be told?
Well, and what's interesting is part of his father's job was the misinformation. It's like, here's what you tell the public, because they studied over and over and over and like tried to expose the public to certain things, and they figured the majority of the public wasn't ready. And they test this by, you know, putting out a new movie or funding this movie or funding this or this or this. And, you know, they gave a lot of information to Roddenberry when he was doing Star Trek, and they gave a lot of information to George Lucas when they were doing Star Wars and this and that. So I think on the whole, they figured, you know, and I know now that a lot of people are ready and want to know this stuff, but there's still a lot of people they figure aren't ready, and the government is so good at, like, dumbing down the public, you know, that they just want to keep you oppressed. And I think they think that, you know, it's going to rock the boat on a lot of religious foundations. Because the other interesting thing I've learned is that many leaders of major religions have known about this stuff for a very long time and have been supporting the governments or the military in their efforts to deal with it. It's like, what? What? The people that of the church I used to go to knew about all this? Oh, yeah. They're very supportive of the military in Utah. It's like, huh? You're kidding. So, you know, in the Vatican, I mean, he did a ton of research in the Vatican archives and stuff like that. And he has been privileged to have access to a wealth of information. It's amazing. So I am thrilled to know that there's more people that want to know about this. And, you know, what I try to help with is just getting more education out there and more information about the history and the science. And I guess what I would like to say to people is just, you know, ask questions. The more questions you ask, the better. You know, it's cool.
All right, Joanne Richards, thanks for being with us. It was fabulous.
Oh, thank you so much. I've been dying to talk to you, so this has been great.
Well, you finally made it.
Thank you so much.
All right, folks, from Sedona, Arizona, I'm Kevin Smith. And Joanne Richards. Well, she's Joanne Richards.
Well, there you have it, folks. Joanne Richards and... one of the most phenomenal stories, and I would say probably the most phenomenal story in the world of ufology at this moment. Now, some of you have heard Joanne Richards before, and the way I know that is because she was recommended to us originally by one of our listeners. And I had talked with her on the phone a couple of months back, and we made arrangements to do that interview at the Ed Grimsley UFO Skywatch Conference, which took place over this past weekend. So we finally got to do that. And in talking with her at the conference, she said that she would be glad to come on and do a full show with us. And that's upcoming. We'll schedule that, and we'll have a full 2 hours with her to be able to really dive into some of these amazing things that she says and ask some very, very deep questions. And you'll have the opportunity to do that too. But what we're going to do here tonight, you've got a little taste of it, but believe me, there is much, much, much more that she has to say. And like I said, we had limited time to squeeze that interview in between various events at the conference. But she's got a lot more to say and to share with you, to tell you. And I'm really looking forward to her coming and being with us. But here's what I want us to do tonight. What I want us to do tonight, you've gotten a taste of this. You may already be familiar with her story. Maybe you've already heard her story. If so, you may be able to add some more detail when we open up the telephone lines in just a moment. For many of you, that's your first contact with Joanne Richards. So you just heard it for the first time. I'd like for you to have the opportunity as well to give your take on this. Now, some of the things that she has said in this interview, you have heard similar things from other people. And you may want to add that to the soup as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up the telephone lines and give you the opportunity to... give us a call and ask questions. I'll answer as many as I can. I'll give you the opportunity to make comments as well. It may be that you say, I think this story is absolutely bogus. Okay, that's fine too. It is, after all, the Kevin Smith Show, and that is a freedom of speech talk show, as long as we're not talking about politics. Let's don't get into politics. Who's right? Who's wrong? Democrats are best. Republicans are best. Democrats are devils. Republicans are devils. That kind of thing. That's politics. We're not going there. All right. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. Or you can call me toll free at 888-223-4599. Now, if you live outside of the United States or you live outside of Canada, you can use the flash message feature, and you do that by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down the page, and you'll see a link that says flash message. You can click that as long as you're not in the United States and as long as you're not in Canada, all right? The reason for that is, see, in the United States and Canada, we have the telephone lines, and there's even a toll-free line. I pay for the call. Now, those phone numbers will work from anywhere in the world. Absolutely anywhere in the world. If you've got a telephone, you can call those numbers, but they're not toll-free. That's why we provide for you who live outside of the USA and Canada, we provide for you the flash message link. What did you think about not just Joanne Richards, but what did you think about the story? Now, the story is phenomenal. We have, she says, a secret space fleet, and it's big, it's advanced, it's nuclear-powered, and it's on patrol, protecting you and me. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
How are you tonight, sir?
Good. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Tony from Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah, Tony. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard Joanne on Karen Dolan's show probably close to a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, there was so much she has to talk about. And it just makes your head swim with all the stuff.
Okay. Well, Tony, what do you think about it? I mean, do you think she's giving us straight information here? You think we've got this secret space fleet?
I'll put it this way. It definitely would not surprise me.
Okay.
With all that's going on.
All right. Tony, do you want to hang on through the break?
Yes, sure.
Yep. All right. You hang on. We'll be back to you in just a moment. You'll be hearing music. All right, folks, we have to take this break. When we come back from this break, we'll go back to the phone line and hear what Tony's got to say. Don't go away. All right, welcome back. Let's go back to the telephone line. You know, we're talking about this videotaped interview that I just showed you, interview with Joanne Richards. And on the phone with me is Tony. Are you still with me, Tony?
Sure am.
Okay. Sorry we had to kind of interrupt you there, but...
Oh, that's all right.
All right, now what's the deal here as far as you're concerned? Is she telling us the truth?
I have a funny feeling that she is. But first off, as far as I know, she's selling nothing. She doesn't have a book out or anything that I know of. So what?
Yeah, she's not making money out of this story, and obviously telling this is not going to help get her husband out of prison.
Exactly.
So.
And there's just something, I don't know what to call it, a feeling. I can't tell you that I believe every single thing she says, but there's certain things she talks about. This reptilian leader, I think his name is Naga.
Yeah.
And the supposed ambush at an asteroid called Vesta.
Yeah.
There's just certain things that come out that just don't sound to me like made-up stories.
All right. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate the call, and haven't heard from you in a little while, so it was good to hear you again.
Thanks, Kevin. I hope to be calling more often.
Outstanding. Thanks.
Great to listen to you.
All right. Bye-bye. Okie dokie. The telephone number, let me get the telephone number back up on the screen for those of you who are watching on KSS-TV. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. And the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Joanne Richards really has a phenomenal story, and I have to say that I'm sort of like Tony with this. The deal is I can't see anything about Joanne Richards where it would be a benefit to make up this story. I don't see where she's benefiting from this at all. And plus she really seems to, as I talked with her, seem to be a very truthful individual. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Kevin in North Carolina, laid up in the chair with an ice pack on my back.
Oh, my goodness. What happened to you?
Moving somebody today.
Oh, I see. I see. Well,
I have a question before I voice my opinion.
All right.
Do I get this straight? Her husband has been in jail for charged with murder since 1982.
That's correct. Right? Yeah.
But she's only been married to him for 11 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that means they got married while he's in prison.
And has she offered any corroborative, definitive proof of any of these stories so far?
Well, when she does a presentation, she shows you some sketches and, you know, when she does a presentation, there's, you know, a slide presentation being shown as she describes what you're looking at. And there are some documents, of course, parts of some of the documents are blacked out. But, yeah, the answer is there are some documents involved, yeah.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, do we know the origins of these documents? Has anyone else come forward of irreproachable pedigree, you know, someone in, currently in the military or something, and verified any of the stories or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't know. As I said, you know, we only had a few minutes between some activities at the conference to get this interview done. And but she, you know, I told her that there were definitely lots of questions we needed to go over. And would she come and do the two-hour show with me? And she said she would. So I'm looking forward to that.
Having answered that, I'll have to say your answers to my questions don't change my opinion much, any. And I will preface, because I know you're going to ask me, well, what things or why not? You know how any good investigator holds back some details so that if someone comes forward and confesses to a crime, if they'll give those pieces of evidence, you know they're telling the truth, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of details that I myself, as a researcher, have, you know, I know about. Not only do I not hear any of those details, I hear contradictory things in the story.
Okay.
This is all second and third hand stories and evidence. She's not witnessed any of it personally.
That is true, and let's underscore that. Let's make sure that everyone understands that she is functioning as the public voice for her husband, who can't come and talk to you publicly. So you're exactly right. She is a go-between.
And I will say she may very well believe this entire story, but I have trouble with her veracity of, you know, I mean, she can say, I believe him, but he's been in prison the entire time they've been married. It's presumably the entire time she's known him, and that suggests, you know, jailhouse romance and all the things that go with it. But, you know, I'm not trying to attack her character or beliefs or anything like that. I'm just saying she may believe it, but based on what she's saying, again, second, third-hand information, I don't believe it. Furthermore, and I will give you this detail.
Sure.
Ships powered by nuclear bombs. Every other alien contact that, to me, is verifiable, they are concerned about not letting us take nuclear power into space. They had, you know, there's all this evidence, Malmstrom and Europe, where they've disarmed nuclear warheads, and it just doesn't wash out for me. I'm unless she could come up with something much more verifiable, I would have trouble with any of this story. So,
well, and with all of her story, we do have to keep in mind that she is not a firsthand witness to this. But see, here's one of the questions I had. I just wish we had had time to get into it. When she named the astronauts that she said had been on his crew and that they had died mysteriously, do you remember that part of it?
I must have.
Okay, well, she named...
Back or glossed over it, no.
She named three astronauts.
Okay.
That in earlier days in their careers, back in 1979, had been members of his crew in this space fleet. and that they had mysteriously died, two of them, I believe, in the last shuttle disaster. Well, see, that might be a little bit easy to check. I didn't have time. I just had a few minutes with her there. But that might be kind of easy to run down, is to take those names and find out if they were in the military at all doing anything in 1979. And then what would their families say, what do their families say about this story in connection to those names?
Yeah, but that, like so much of the story, could be so easily deniable. Oh, they don't remember, they can't say, security oaths.
Well, it doesn't. But that doesn't matter. We still need to know what they say.
Yeah, and I will drop it with this one last thing. The fact that she doesn't apparently is not apparently making any money off of it does not. Money's not the only motivation for getting up and telling a story.
All right, what would be a motivation?
Even if it's a story she believes, she may have motivations of love, motivations of, you know, popular, who knows? Lots of things. But just because mm-hmm. she's not selling a book doesn't necessarily logically equate to, oh, well, then therefore she must be telling the truth.
Well, and as a police investigator, let me say this. I think she is telling the truth. Now, let me define that. As she understands it.
Agreed.
Okay. I did not get any sense that she was fabricating. Now, the source of her information may be a fabrication. You follow what I'm saying?
Exactly what I'm suggesting.
Yeah. I think, you know, but I'm not ready to make a judgment on that part of it yet either. I just don't have enough information yet. But
my statement exactly, and I do want to say, in case she's listening to the show, I'm not trying to slander her, say anything bad about her. She seems like a genuine, honest, caring person, and I'll give her that. It's just the details of the story based on my own personal investigations and knowledge, and hey, I don't know everything either. It just, as of yet, doesn't jive for me.
Yeah, we got to have, there has to be some more coloring between the lines here before we can see the picture. But, I will say again, I think if you gave her a polygraph test, and if that polygraph test were to question whether or not she is fabricating this story, I think she would pass that test. I don't think she's fabricating. But we don't know about the veracity of the source yet. All right, we have to take a break. I want to thank you for the call. We'll be back with more of your calls right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. Toll free, 888-223-4599. And what we're talking about at the moment, anyway, is the Joanne Richards story. I showed you at the beginning of the broadcast the interview that I had with Ms. Richards over the weekend at the Ed Grimsley UFO Skywatch Conference. And by the way, one of the things that I didn't tell you that I need to tell you about that conference is I got to meet a lot of you there. I got to meet a whole bunch of Kevin Smith Show fans at this conference, and it was really pretty cool. And I got some couple of interviews with a couple of fans, and I'll share those with you at some point during the week. Debbie from Columbus was there, and Ricky Hamilton was there, and Darren Shapiro was there. And that way, I shouldn't have even started naming names because I can't name all of them, a very large part of the crowd are people who listen to the Kevin Smith Show, and it was a real pleasure to be able to meet you in person. And I hope we can do that again, maybe another conference some point in the future. All right, let's go to the telephone line, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. If you will, tell us your first name and from where you are calling. Oh, you know what? Hang on, caller. You see, I've been away from the studio now for several days, and I got rusty. I didn't push the right button here. All right, caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Clay from Arkansas.
Hi, Clay.
Hi. First of all, I missed some of your show. I had to run to the store and get some bologna and stuff for my lunch tomorrow, and I had to eat. But I found the chicken story. We taste a lot like chicken. Quite interesting.
Well, that was my comment. She didn't say that. I said that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the one that said that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I have to say is, about 20 years ago, they found that if you heated up a hydrogen or nitrogen, what they use in the space shuttle, to a fantastic degree, you know, of like using atomic power, you could boost the space shuttle about twice as much. That could be possible, you know, as far as science goes. Mm-hmm. And another thing is, I forget what country it was, but they found a way to use up all the nuclear rods, I mean the waste, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's about all I have to say. So
all right, well, let me ask you a question or two.
Yeah.
This Joanne Richards, you saw at least part of the interview. What was your impression? Do you think this is truthful, or do you think this is true information, or do you think she is being truthful in giving us information, but perhaps the information is not true, or do you think she's lying?
Well, I would like to believe what she had to say, what the parts that I heard. I would like to believe, because we're organic, we feed off of other life forms. I mean, there might be a lack of materials out there for other civilizations. I would think that that's possibly true.
Okay, good enough. Okay. Thanks for the call, Clay.
Okay, bye-bye. Right.
Bye. This is phenomenal information. Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying that I'm putting my stamp on it and saying this is all true. That's not what I'm saying. Neither am I saying I think she's lying, because I don't think she's lying. I think for her part, she's being truthful. But the information is so phenomenal. Of course, the source of the information is her husband. But the source of the information, how truthful is that source? And, you know, asking the question is not accusing. It's simply asking a question. But this is phenomenal stuff. All right, a flash message from Australia, and I will open the phone line again in just a moment, but I've got to do this flash message. It says, it's from John in Australia, and it says, taking into consideration of the weakness of human activities, emotional and inability to keep secrets, etc., plus the fact that these machines alone would come into the arena of other human activity in many ways, it would be inconceivable that such operations would not in some way be exposed, even just by some accident. And much of this, even without the potential of other countries not being involved in some way. It would be damned hard to not come to the awareness by the other nations, and many of which would not be exactly the bosom buddy of the United States. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't disagree with it. Not exactly. But let me tell you, the SR-71 was deployed in 1965, no one even started talking about the possible existence of such an aircraft until the late 1970s, mid to late 1970s. People thought it was some brand new super secret something that had been deployed, and there were rumors about it. But by the time those rumors began, that plane had already been in service a decade. And they never even admitted they had it till they retired it in the 1980s. There are things that were done in World War II that are still classified and completely unknown to you and me. Now, some things do not have to be classified in order to be a secret. I headed a unit in the International Police in Kosovo, which is not on any organizational chart anywhere. I can't prove to you. Yeah, I can prove to you. I do have documentation. I just remembered. But generally speaking, it would be difficult to prove to you that I headed that unit or that that unit existed unless some of the other men who were assigned to that unit were to come forward and say they were assigned to it and they served with me. And yet it's not classified. So the keeping of secrets is sometimes accidental. The keeping of secrets is sometimes on purpose. But anyone who thinks that the government can't keep a secret really doesn't understand, because not only can they do. And if it's one they really want locked down, it will be locked down. And they can. We have, right now, absolutely, for sure, we have phenomenally advanced aircraft that you and I know nothing about. Now, how do I know that? And weapon systems that you and I know nothing about. Well, I point back to General Schwarzkopf in a press conference during Gulf War I when he said that if Saddam Hussein did not surrender, we had things to throw at him that he could not even begin to imagine. Now, the world was in awe. Right then, we were all just awestruck at all of these new smart weapons that were being used. We had no idea that the United States had the capability of flying a missile right down a smokestack or through a specific particular window. And when we saw all that on TV in Gulf War I, the world was absolutely awestruck. And Schwarzkopf said, that is obsolete technology. And we have things to throw at him that he cannot even begin to imagine. So the true state of technology is way ahead of what you and I see, and it's secret. And yes, they can, they do, and they will keep secrets and keep them very well. Yeah, they mess up sometimes, and something sort of goes awry, and a little information on something leaks out. That is the exception and not the rule. All right, let's go back to the telephone line here. Let me just open the phone line. That might be a good thing. 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. Or toll free at 1-888-223-4599. Again, if you are outside of the United States, you're outside of Canada, you don't want to make that international long-distance call, just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down the page, and you will find a link that says Flash Message. Use that to send me your comments or question. All right, from Susan over in the United Kingdom, Dear Kevin, while I do not necessarily believe the story, I can confirm that there was a program that researched huge nuclear-powered spaceships. If anyone is interested in the subject, I would point them to the book Project Orion, The Atomic Spaceship, 1957 to 1965, by George Dyson. Interesting, Susan, in the UK, because that's one of the names that she mentions as the designer of the Orion-class space battleship. Wow. We'll look into that a little bit. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Glad to hear you had a good time. Everything went well except for the weather, huh?
Well, we'll just say it was a good conference. I wouldn't say everything went well. There were some tough, tough moments, but overall, it was really fantastic.
Yeah, and if I didn't have my nerve problem, I wouldn't mind checking it out myself. But I got a nerve problem getting around people sometimes. So, I heard her story better than a year ago. I think I mentioned on your show before about her husband being in jail, and supposedly we had the Starfleet.
So what do you think? You think it's true?
It's hard to ponder, you know. I believe that the technology that we see is not the technology we have. I believe that we do have ships, you know, that can get into space without all these thruster rockets and stuff, and I think we've had for quite some time. Whether we're battling other aliens or whatever else is going on, I mean, you know, who's to say? You'd think they'd have a hard time recruiting, you know, seeing how they treat the way they treat these heroes that's supposed to be, you know, doing all this fantastic stuff by framing you for murder or killing you. You know, to keep a secret, you know, I don't know if I'd be signing up for that or what, you know, would you?
Well, I'll tell you, I would think that whoever signs up for this stuff would not have it in their mind that their government would do that to them. And the way that people die in... as she described, it would be difficult to prove that the government did that. You know, I mean, it looks like just tragedies, you know. I think it would be very difficult to pin it on the government. It's easy to suspect it, but you understand what I'm saying. It'd be hard to come up with the evidence to actually pin it on them.
Yeah. Well, these guys, you know, have got to be, very intelligent, you know, and... You know, I would think that they would have some kind of idea what's going on. I would assume. Just being a...
Yeah, but look, you know, the mindset of people who sign up to go serve their country overseas and are, in this case, in space, they're totally patriotic. They really are. I mean... I have served alongside, I was not in the military, I was international police, but I've served alongside our military in several places. And that's just the most incredibly patriotic bunch of people that you'll ever run into. They totally believe in this country. And it would be hard for someone like that to imagine that their government or any part of the government would do something like that to them. You see what I'm saying? I don't think it would ever cross their minds that would happen to them.
Yeah, you know, and it's a shame, you know, how they do treat them and what's going on in our country today.
Well, let me say this, since it's Memorial Day and it's a day when we remember those who have paid the ultimate price, I have nothing but admiration and deep appreciation for them and for the price that they've paid. For those whose lives are on the line right now and serving us around the world and here in the United States, nothing but unqualified, unequaled awe at their dedication. And I certainly appreciate them.
Yep, I do too. That's just why it disturbs me so much that, you know, like I told you the other night when Jerry was on, you know, that 100 million people called in and voted for the American Idol, you know. I mean, if we could get 100 million people to pay attention to what's going on in our government and write their congressmen and whatever.
Well, yeah, you got 100 million people to pay attention to anything. Oops. Hey, Terry, if you're listening, I meant to put you on hold, and I cut you off. Sir, I am sorry. I told you I'm rusty. I'm pushing wrong buttons here. I can't even get my primary mic to work tonight. I'm sorry. But anyway, you get 100 million people to focus on anything, and stuff is going to happen. You can move mountains with 100 million people focused on it. Again, Terry, I'm sorry. I did not mean to cut you off. All right. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. Or toll free 1-888-223-4599. Now, going back to the flash message from Australia, one of the comments that he made, John made, is that, you know, with these machines, there's obviously going to be, you know, these spaceships, there's going to be some sort of interaction with the population in such a way that it gets exposed. Well, see, that is happening. At the Ed Grimsley UFO Skywatch Conference on Sunday night, last night, about 100 people went out onto the parking lot of the Creative Life Center in Sedona, Arizona, at nighttime with night vision goggles. Ed divided them all up into groups of five or six, gave each group a set of night vision goggles to use, and instructed them as to what you look for, to look up and see UFOs all over the sky. And you know what? When they first started looking, not too many people were seeing anything. And then all of a sudden, I hear this one voice over in the back of the crowd, and he said very loudly, "Oh, my God, look at that. It's real." And, of course, everyone started looking that direction with their goggles. And there were oohs and ahs, and, you know, they just couldn't believe what they were seeing. So, yeah. I'm not saying that is the same thing Ann Richards, Joanne Richards is talking about. What I am saying is there is stuff there. This is not even a question. That's not even a debate. Don't know who they are. Don't know what they're up to. But they're there, and they're there in big numbers and can be seen each and every night from just about anywhere on the planet. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, just wanted to touch on the whole government secrecy thing. You turned me onto a really good book the other day, that Witness to Roswell.
Uh-huh.
It's packed full of information and witnesses and everything, and as many people were involved with that. It's still like an unsubstantiated, like, case. You know, nobody can really prove it happened. And that just goes to show you, like, how much the government secrecy thing really could come into play. Everybody's always like, well, no, there's too many hands in the pot. Nobody could ever keep something like that. Well, they do. They do it all the time. So, I mean, I don't know what to think of her story. I'm not quite sure myself. You know, there seems to be a lot of little loose ends that I couldn't identify. But that's like with every single case in ufology, it seems to be, even the ones that have like really good trace evidence, there's still always something missing, you know.
Well, yeah, you're right. Now, one of the things that makes me sort of say, and see, I haven't decided, and of course, you know, even if I decide, I don't tell you what I've decided. I let you decide. You ask your own questions of her and decide. That's the way I operate. But, I mean, I there are a lot of things about this that I have lots of questions about. But if you take what she's saying about this space fleet as a general outline, just, okay, we have a secret space fleet, and, you know, it's they're up there, and you don't know about it, but they're there. And then you take the Skywatch material, and you go outside, and you take the night vision goggles, point them at the sky, and watch them fly in fleets. I have seen I've seen video of the fleets. I have seen with my own eyes two of them flying side by side and doing maneuvers. But you go out there and you see it for yourself that there's something going on, and it's not meteors, it's not bats, it's not moths, it's not birds, and it's not satellites. They're flying and doing maneuvers that those things can't do. Okay? When you put those two together, it seems that what you see through the goggles sort of corroborates what she's saying. You know, as a general outline. Now, I'm not saying that it corroborates the details of what she's saying. But when she talks about that we have a space fleet, and then you go outside and look up in the sky and see them, kind of corroborates it.
Yeah, somebody's got a fleet.
Somebody does. That's right. Hey, thanks for the call. I got to run for a break.
Have a good one.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about this amazing story of that we've heard from Joanne Richards. And believe me, folks, you got the very tiny tip of a very large iceberg. Because she's got, when she gives you the whole story, she's got some mind-blowing things that are way, way more mind-blowing than what we heard here tonight. And I am going to have her on the show. We'll get her scheduled to be on the show and do the whole 2 hours with her where you can talk to her yourself. But, you know, I wanted to get what we could get while I was at the conference, because she was a speaker at the conference. And I didn't want to let that get away. You know what I mean? She was there. I wanted to be sure that we had the opportunity to at least get something. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Stefan from Quebec City. How are you?
Outstanding, Stefan. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You know, really, my people, the Cree from Saskatchewan, have our own stories and legends regarding star people, in other words, extraterrestrials. And the stories that I heard when I was growing up involved battle taking place between them. So we didn't only have good ones and good ones back then, but we also considered there to be bad ones. So from my people's perspective, that her story certainly could have validity. But I will say that if the world plan is to unite humanity under one banner, whether it's a one-world government or anything like that, having evil extraterrestrials certainly give it a good excuse to do that. The only thing I would be careful with is if, once you put all that power into a few people's hands, once the battle is on, and if it ever ends, does that power ever get redistributed to how like it was, or does it still remain under one group of people's control? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand completely what you're saying, and let me respond to it this way. Now, you're in Canada, but you follow the news here, right? And you follow the United States news, right? Okay. Have you ever heard of the Patriot Act?
Yeah, although I don't know all the details of it.
Well, after 9/11, people were so terrified that they willingly gave up a big, huge chunk of their constitutionally guaranteed rights and freedoms under the Patriot Act. And to date, we have not gotten them back. Once people in power have their hands on some more power, they do not easily give it back to the people. So if we get scared enough that we willingly give all this power to a world government, will we ever get it back? Not on your life.
I highly doubt it as well. See, even though there might be a threat, I sometimes feel that you have to defend yourself. But I mean, how come from military sources we never hear about good extraterrestrials? I mean, the only person I've ever heard about talking about that is Clifford Stone and Robert Dean. Every other story seems to deal in as being evil.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. It could be that the military is not worried about the good ones. They're keeping track of the bad ones, and so that's what the files would be about, that these military guys would be exposed to. It could be that.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I just want to thank you for having a great show again tonight, and I look forward to hearing the rest of it.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yep. Thank you, Kevin.
You bet. All right. 602-539-9580 is the number to call. If you can make that call without that costing you long distance, please use that number. But if it's going to cost you a long distance charge, please use the toll-free number, which we have reserved for you. It is 1-888-223-4599. If you are outside of the United States, you're outside of Canada, please feel free to use our flash message feature. You just go to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you'll see a link that says Flash Message, and just click on that, and you can send me your question or your comments with the Flash Message. Look, all I'm saying about this story here tonight, you know, I warned you that it is phenomenal, and it is. If it's true, it is without question, one of the most important bits of information in all of ufology. If it's not true, it still makes a fantastic movie plot, and someone ought to make a movie out of it. Having met Joanne Richards, having talked with her personally, I did not get the sense that she was fabricating. Now, could I be wrong? Sure, I could be wrong. I like anyone else, I can miss the target sometimes. So, yeah, I could be wrong. She could be fabricating everything, but I don't think so. I think she was being very truthful with me. But that's a whole separate, different issue from the question, is the information itself accurate? I don't think she's fabricating it. I think she's telling it to us as it was given to her by her husband. Now, we certainly have every right to dig into and try to either substantiate or to eliminate that information. And between now and the time that Joanne appears on our show, some of you researchers out there need to dig into some of this, verify some things, and eliminate some things in the story, because it's just a fabulously phenomenal story. Now, on the one side, I'm saying that I think she was telling me the truth as she perceives the truth. I don't think she was lying or fabricating. On the other hand, And with that, let me say that if you take the story as kind of a general outline, in other words, all right, take the many details out, and what you have is this. The story is that there exists a really secret deep space fleet. Put beside that, the hundreds, in fact, the many thousands of people who now, because of Ed Grimsley, have with their own eyes seen those fleets of things flying way above the Earth. They're not in our atmosphere. They are way too high for that. And they've seen them now with their own eyes through night vision. They've seen squadrons flying formation. They have seen fleets of things flying, doing maneuvers. Some people say they have seen battles where one of these things would fire a beam of light and hit another one. I have not personally seen that, except on video, okay? Video shot through the night vision goggles. So I haven't personally seen a battle, but there are literally hundreds of people who say they have. You put that as alongside Joanne Richards' story, and as I said, take all the many details out, and you're left with, we have, or there exists, this secret space fleet. And thousands of people are seeing fleets of things flying in the above our atmosphere. It would seem to me that sort of corroborates at least a part of the story. But what do you think about this? And let me turn the question a little bit, let me turn the screws down on the question just a little bit tighter. Let's say that her story is true, with the details in it, that there are extraterrestrial races that want to dominate Earth, and that this space fleet is there to protect us. Let's just, for the sake of speculation, say that's true. If that's true, do you think that they would keep it secret, and do you think they should keep it secret? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, how you doing? This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I didn't catch the first part of the show.
You missed two or three universes of information.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I have heard her story before.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know somebody mentioned about, well, she's not trying to push a book or anything, but I've heard that so many times, you know, and there's so many other reasons people will lie. And
so do you think she's lying?
Like I said, I've heard her before, and I don't think she's lying, but I think, you know, where her source of information might not be accurate. Has anybody ever done any research in her husband's background?
I don't know. And I certainly have not been exposed to this information long enough to have done any research in it. Plus, in my case, I'm not a researcher. I'm a talk show host. I talk to researchers.
I'm a publisher, and I'm not a researcher. So, I'm just curious if somebody out there, because her story's been around for a while now, and I'm wondering if anybody's actually... instead of researching her, research her husband. You know, where does he come from? What's the story on him? What's his educational background? What's his military background? Was he a fantasy type writer at one time? Was he a creative writer? A lot of questions. You know, about her husband could answer some questions.
All right, let's take her and her husband completely out of the story for a moment. They just don't even exist. And we have the story from whatever source. Is it plausible that we, and by we, I mean either the United States or, as the information says, it's an international force, so either the United States or Earth, Earth united on this thing, is it plausible to think that we have a very highly advanced, super top secret deep space fleet?
Well, yeah, I think it's plausible that anything's possible, Kevin, and I have made the connection myself in the past with, when I heard her story, and then I heard Ed Grimsley, then you take McKenna, you know, his information that he come forward with, that he claims, that he's seen on NASA computers and various military computers. You take all that, put it together, you say, well, yeah, this is all plausible. There's a connection here, you know. You're starting to, form a picture.
Yeah, Don, the break is taking over. Do you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
Yep, hang on. And we'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on final approach. That means we only have a few minutes left, and we're talking about one of the most amazing stories that is floating around out there. You got to hear it straight from Joanne Richards in an abbreviated form, but wow, even in an abbreviated form, this stuff is mind-bending. On the line with me is Don from Phoenix. Don, we had to cut you off because of the break. You were saying that, yeah, it is plausible that we might have this space fleet, and especially when you add to the basic story the fact that, the work that Ed Grimsley does with night vision, and thousands of people have seen these things now. So, go ahead.
What Gary McKenna came out with. But what I'm saying is we got to look beyond that, because right now it's just her husband's word that's being passed on to her, and she has not a clue what really happened. She's just believing in him. She doesn't even know him outside of prison. So, somebody needs to really research into her husband's background. Where did this guy come from? What is his educational level? What is his military career level? What was he involved in? What was he like growing up? Was he a creative writer? There's a lot of things I think could be answered just by looking into this guy's background instead of looking at Joanne Richards, who she is. She's not important.
Yeah, but we're not. Whoa. We're not looking at her. We're just looking at the information.
Yeah, right. But she's the one that's carrying the information. She's the one that's bringing the information forward.
That's true. But would you do the same thing if Jim Mars, who is a journalist, were to say these same things and report these things to you? Would you say we got to look at Jim Mars' background? See, I don't think looking at the messenger is important. The messenger.
Jim Mars would also, he would present a lot more, I would assume Jim Mars would present a lot more evidence.
Don, wait a minute. In fairness, Don, I told right before I played the video, this is truly abbreviated because I had to do this between events at the conference. And I said, and I have said several times, that the story and the evidence that she presents is way more than what I was able to get in this 25-minute interview. So, I mean, in fairness, we can't say she's not presenting it. We have to say I didn't present it. I didn't have time because I only had a few minutes between events at the conference to grab her and do the interview.
I'm not trying to be unfair to her, Kevin, and I'm not saying her story is not true. I'm just saying we've got to be open to both sides of the story and a possibility that this story is not true. We don't know at this point.
Well, and yeah, but see, I've already made that case.
If we got the ability to research out her husband, then it should be done.
Well, and I've said that all the way through the show. But, you know, and I've said, you know, there are things that have to be researched here and questions that need to be asked. But what we're looking at is you take the basic story. Is it plausible? Is it even possible that that could be true? Now, I think when you put Ed Grimsley's work next to what she's saying, Take out the hairy details of what she's saying and just look at the basic story, which is we have this super secret space fleet. I don't know what's flying up there. I don't know who's flying up there. But I know because I've seen them through night vision, they are there, whoever they are. So is it plausible that it's ours?
Yeah, but the thing is, we don't know if this guy is just sitting in prison watching a lot of episodes of Battlestar Galactica and creating his own story from it out of it. You know, we don't know. You know,
well, yeah, but that's a well-established fact. That's a well-established fact. What you're saying has been established for 2 hours. I've been saying that. I've been saying we don't know the veracity of the source.
Yeah, I realize that, Kevin, and I'm not saying you're saying otherwise. I'm just stating my opinion. I'm just saying we got to remain open-minded, and I'm sure there's a lot of people just gobble up her story. You know, that's the truth. And
okay, I see where you're coming from. Yeah, we should not. I fully support what you're saying. Now that I have a okay, I'm slow. I'm old, Don. I'm old. I'm slow. I didn't catch your perspective. I understand your perspective now. Yes, you're right. We should not take anybody's information and gobble it up and say, I believe. We should investigate it and either get to a point where we can say, I know, or we have to keep saying, I don't know, I'm still looking.
Yeah, okay, and what I was saying, too, my whole point is when I called in was the fact that I asked the question if anybody researched her husband out, and that would be a very good idea, you know?
Yeah, and Don, not only that, the names that she mentioned need to be researched, too. Now, interestingly, one of the names that she mentioned as the designer, she mentioned two names as the designers of Orion-class spaceships. And one of those names that she mentioned, I got an email, a flash message actually, from the UK, and it has a link in it. Let me just pull this back up.
I heard that.
Yeah, there is... it says, while I do not necessarily believe the story, I can confirm that there was a program that researched huge nuclear-powered spaceships. If anyone is interested in the subject, I would point them to the book Project Orion, The Atomic Spaceship, 1957 to 1965, by George Dyson. And that's one of the names that she mentioned. But, Don, you're very well familiar with Stanton Friedman as well. Now, Stanton Friedman is a nuclear physicist, and Stanton Friedman said that he worked on the development and they successfully tested atomic-powered rocket engines. And this would be during that time frame. Now, do you know if this Project Orion is what Stanton Friedman worked on?
I have no idea.
See, I think that would be interesting, too, and I think I'm going to ask him. I'm going to call him and ask him about that. Because I think that would be the right time frame. And I have asked him, well, if these were successfully tested, why was it just shut down and they were never used? And to the best of my memory, his response was something like, well, that's the $64,000 question. So I don't think he really knows why they shut it down either. But he was a nuclear physicist working on the design of nuclear-powered, atomic-powered rocket engines, and he said on this show they had successfully tested them. So I think that would be pretty cool to find out if it was this Orion project.
Yeah, that's why I said there's probably a lot of information out there that we could research out and find, get answers for. A lot of people just refuse to ask questions. They'll just take somebody's word for it. Like Joanne Richard, for whatever she's saying, they'll say, wow, yeah, I knew it. But, yeah, it confirms it. That doesn't confirm anything.
No, but it does add a whole bunch of leads for people to, researchers to go research. And, she does, here's the deal. She, in her story, she's giving a lot of specifics that you don't get in other people's stories. And that means that researchers have a lot of handles that they can grab and go research. Well, it's been interesting, folks. We're out of time. The music started. The show is rapidly approaching the wall at the end of the road. All right, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.